proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Welcome, friends, once again to a very important topic that is once again front and center, and that is the abortion issue. This issue has always been a very sensitive matter in America, as it should be. It is that important. We don't take the killing of innocent life lightly. Not now, not ever. It matters not what the laws of the land say. We must respect God's order in all things. So we don't take this lightly. And least of all, the massacre of unborn children, which is non-negotiable or even acceptable to the majority of us, not even as a result of rape and incest. That's right. There are those who want to justify abortion under these circumstances, but that should not be so. And it is because of a very important reason. A life is a life created by God. And He always has a higher purpose for what He allows, even through such atrocious acts. Who are we to tell God that He can't conceive a child under questionable or even dangerous circumstances? Friends, He is the Creator and the only giver of life. We have nothing to do with that decision. There are many things that we can't understand from our limited, finite perspective to dare to dictate to God, who is infinite in His knowledge, that conceiving a child in questionable circumstances ought not to be. Who are we to dictate to Him? So let's look at this issue once again, because it is vitally important to the life of our nation and to the life of future generations, especially before God. He is the one that is recording all of our acts, and He will hold us accountable. This issue will either make us or break us. America needs to stop celebrating abortion. This is the topic we're going to be dealing with today. I'm Nena Arias, and I welcome you once again to the program. Christians, as well as pro-lifers, have been praying and working to overturn the infamous Roe versus Wade ruling, which legalized abortion in the United States since the outset in 1973. It has been a long, arduous, uphill battle with what seemed like no end in sight. Even with the latest developments, it still looks like an even harder battle ahead because of the upheaval it always causes and the explosion that was just revealed. Why is it that people or some people are so adamant against letting the unborn live? This issue brings many divisions in families, even if they have been raised in church. It divides friends. It certainly divides political parties. We know that. And even, incredible but true, it divides churches, Christian churches, or so-called Christian churches. Protecting life is not that complicated, folks. Only when people want to justify wrongdoing. And isn't that the case about everything? God has been very clear to give us the blueprint for life. And it should not be so difficult to know how to live right. But this is an issue that has been twisted and turned, and just about many attempts to justify why it is okay to take innocent life this way. It's not complicated to know what the right thing to do is, people. With the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, again, this issue of abortion is in the forefront very strongly. Supporters and opponents of abortion rights were anticipating a Supreme Court decision this summer. This is what we were looking forward to, see what was going to happen in this case. But a drastic change of events has changed all that, perhaps. The sudden release of a draft opinion set off a wave of impromptu protests. Or so it seems, because these protests organized so fast, the media was speaking about this so quickly, and even politicians on the left took up the subject right away, that it makes you think, did they know beforehand what was going to happen? Because some of these protests and opinions were presented in lightning speed. It makes us think that something fishy happened here. Pro-abortion activists became livid, and I mean livid, on May 3rd when news of the upcoming Supreme Court ruling on abortion was leaked to the press. This is something that is totally unprecedented. The Supreme Court is a very well guarded judicial body. And I don't doubt that whoever is hired to work in that institution, in that branch of government, is highly scrutinized. And without a doubt, they have to sign a very strict confidentiality agreement. Somebody fell on their sword here. This doesn't just happen. Democrats in the U.S. Senate, who are staunch advocates for killing the unborn, they quickly vowed to codify the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision and make it into federal law. A lot of people think that it is already federal law. No, it isn't. It was a ruling handed down by the Supreme Court in 1973, and it threw the ball into the court of the Congress for the Congress to decide when life begins, by voting, by legislating. That was never done. So this ruling has been floating around for almost 50 years, and people think it is the law of the land. It is not. Needless to say, the president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, which is the largest abortion provider, called this leaked opinion horrifying and unprecedented. She's right about the unprecedented part. But horrifying? To save the life of the unborn? That is horrifying. What skewed thinking. The National Abortion Rights Action League called it ominous and alarming. Really? Any decent human being who appreciates life, who knows that we were all at that stage of being conceived in our mother's womb, and if a pregnancy is not interrupted, it develops into a bona fide human being. Why is that ominous and alarming? These people's thinking is actually evil. One of the most radical liberal states is New York. We know that. So it is no surprise that New York's governor, Kathy Hochul, also said she is horrified by the decision and pledged that her state would provide abortions to any woman who needs one, regardless of limitations that might be imposed on abortions in other states. Give me a break. Like if it was only up to her to make the decision. This just gives you the warped mentality that people in positions of government have attributed to themselves, thinking that they are little gods and can make these decisions. That having the title of a public servant at any position gives them the right and the authority to decide these things. She added, and I quote, "New York will always be a place where abortion rights are protected and where abortion is safe and accessible." End of quote. Have you ever seen such arrogance? What gives her the right to say that babies can freely die? Innocent life can be freely snuffed out in her state. Whew, dear friends, this just blows my mind. The state of New York horrified us when it passed a law in 2019 that lifted a ban on abortions after 24 weeks of pregnancy. Do you know what a baby looks like in the womb after 24 weeks? And when the state's lawmakers ratified that legislation, then Governor Andrew Cuomo, who was governor at that time, ordered the lights on top of the World Trade Center to be switched to pink. Why? To celebrate abortion rights. Celebrate. We all saw the images of the people in New York celebrating like if it was a party. Friends, little do they know, they are attempting to rub God's nose in this act. Ultimately, God won't have it. And neither should we. Neither will we. In today's cultural war, radical liberals seek to stifle all of the voices that they don't like. And they have very well identifiable tactics to do this. And all those tactics is playing dirty. They attack people personally. They denigrate them. They come aggressively against them to say that other people's opinions don't matter, that only their opinion matters. Here are voices of three women who had some pointed things to say about abortion. And this first one I was able to see on television when Mother Teresa visited the United States. It was Mother Teresa who said, and I quote, "Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use violence to get what they want." End of quote. I still remember the cameras focusing on the president, the vice president, and government officials in the front row during that speech. Their faces were a blank stare that this little woman would dare to speak to them this way, to their face. I remember that day. Powerful voice. Another voice is author E.A. Buccinieri, a popular fiction writer that said, and I quote, "Abortion should be listed as a weapon of mass destruction against the voiceless," end of quote. If you add up the millions of babies that have been aborted in this country alone, and worldwide it is reported that over a billion with a B, unborn children have been aborted, that is more than all of the wars in the world put together. I would say then that abortion is a weapon of mass destruction. There's no doubt about it. And its victims are voiceless, which means that if anything is going to be done about it, you and I have to speak for them. This is how important this issue is. And the third voice that I want to quote is Alveda King, Dr. Alveda King. She is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. And she said the following, and I quote, "Abortion and racism are both symptoms of a fundamental human error. The error is thinking that when someone stands in the way of our wants, we can justify getting that person out of our lives. Abortion and racism stem from the same poisonous root, selfishness." End of quote. It is a proven fact, folks, that the main reason why people abort is because it is inconvenient for them to have a child at that time. The reasons and excuses are varied, but bottom line, it is selfishness. So the root of this cannot be justified or classified any other way. It's not easy to know what the upcoming Supreme Court ruling will be for the innocent and unborn. We know what we are praying for. We know what we are working for. We know that this may be God's answer to our prayers at this time, but it's still up in the air. It is not a formal announcement. Some observers expect each state to draw its own lines on abortion limits, and many states have already begun to do that. Now, we know that if it is announced that the decision of Roe versus Wade is overturned, some of those states will even go further and completely declare it illegal. While abortion activists vow to pass federal legislation making abortion legal even in the third trimester. Dear friends, a child is completely viable outside of the womb in the third trimester, and sometimes even younger. Science, more and more, is proving that life is worth saving. Sometimes babies are born a pound, less than a pound, and they are nurtured and cared for, and months later, those babies are completely viable, and they leave the hospital into the loving arms of their parents. That's right. Hopefully, during this time in our history, we can rethink and see the absurdity and merciless arguments that are being used to justify the killing of 62.5 million unborn children since Roe versus Wade was passed. 62.5 million. Dear friends, that is wiping out an entire generation or two in the last almost 50 years. What is there to be said about a nation that is disrespecting life to this degree and that is killing off its future? We have a giant hole in the human chain in this country because those 62.5 million babies or more are missing. They're gone, never to return. This is more than horrific. It is diabolical. This level of evil only comes from the pit of hell and through people who want to serve the devil's purposes. This is a clear attack on God himself. It is insane to claim that abortion promotes women's health. This is crazy when the facts show exactly the opposite. Post-abortive women suffer greatly in spirit, in their mind, and in their body, even if they want to hide it and pretend otherwise. There are women now that are flaunting their abortions, multiple abortions. They want us to believe that they are proud and that they have no regrets that they aborted their children. This is false because the conception of a child in the mother's womb binds that child to the spirit, mind, and body of that mother. Besides, on the other hand, let's get it through our heads once and for all. Pregnancy is not a disease. And this is how they camouflage this act. Oh, we're advocating for women's health care. Give me a break. Are there complications and diseases that can spring forth through a pregnancy? Absolutely. Just like everything else in life. But pregnancy itself is not a disease. Abortion may be convenient for some women, but no health care provider can prove it's healthy to have an unborn child ripped or sucked out of a mother's uterus before it is viable. And here are four reasons that you can never, ever, ever convince me otherwise. First and foremost, the first and most important reason is because God forbids killing the innocent. He tells us very clearly, you shall not kill, period. That's the most important reason. Another reason is that abortion can harm women physically and emotionally and spiritually. Various studies in recent years, including one by Britain's Royal College of Psychiatrics, shows that women who have abortions become more likely to develop cervical cancer, sterility, nervous disorders, sleep disturbances, eating disorders, suicidal thoughts, and post-traumatic stress disorder. These are formal studies. Another study revealed that women with a history of abortion face higher rates of anxiety, 34% higher, and depression, 37% higher, and heavier alcohol use, 110% higher. It has also been shown that women who abort are twice as likely to become heavy smokers, and many of them ultimately resort to suicide. Abortion is sexist. It has always amazed me that women have campaigned the loudest for abortion rights. Yet, the majority of the abortionists are men who profit from this horrific procedure. It's also a fact that many women, including many pregnant teenage girls, are forced by their fathers, the father figure in their lives, or sex partners to have unwanted abortions. A high percentage of women said they would never have an abortion if the father of the child was willing to step up and accept his responsibility. And this is why There are skewed ratios, for instance, in India, where female infants are aborted because they're not wanted. So the ratio is like 1,000 men to every 618 women. Even though sex-selective abortions were banned several years ago in India, many female babies are aborted or abandoned at birth because of gender discrimination. Why is this not a feminist outcry about this injustice? And the fourth reason is because abortion is racist. That's right. This is the ugly truth pro-abortion activists refuse to face. African Americans make up 12.6% of the U.S. population. But the Centers for Disease Control reports that black women accounted for 35.4% of all abortions in 2009. Of the 62.5 million abortions in the United States since 1973, more than 18 million aborted babies were black. Tell me that's not racist. Abortion kills minority children at more than three times the rate of white children. Today, abortion is the leading cause of death for African Americans, more than all other causes combined, including AIDS, violent crimes, accidents, cancer, heart disease. And let's not forget that Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger was an avowed proponent of eugenics to eliminate the unfit races, which she considered the black people to be. She worked tirelessly to keep minorities supplied with birth control. This might explain why 62% of Planned Parenthood clinics are located in areas with high black populations. Dear friends, and I would like to quote one other person, Faye Waddleton, who acted and served as the president of Planned Parenthood from 1978 to 1962. And she said in an interview with Ms. Magazine, and I quote, "I think we have deluded ourselves into believing that people don't know that abortion is killing. So any pretense that abortion is not killing is a signal of our ambivalence, a signal that we cannot say, yes, it kills a fetus," end of quote. Friends, reality could not be clearer than this. Abortion is literally the life and death issue of our times. We have to fight against it. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven," end of quote. It's time to change. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.